And in 1 Kings 17 is where we're going to be today, and later we're going to jump over to 1 Corinthians 1, so if you want to get your Bibles ready for that. As you know, next week is Mother's Day, and I hope you will plan on coming and staying for a luncheon, bringing some goodies to share, bringing some people with you, just to challenge and comfort and encourage mothers. And but we've been looking for last week and today, and next week we will too, at godly women of the Bible. Last week we looked at a very special woman, Jochebed. However, she was an overlooked woman who we've seen her works but didn't even know her. And she remained faithful to God. She raised a godly man, a godly leader, because her concern was not to be noticed but to honor God. Now, probably we could go around in this room and hear a lot of stories about our moms. And we have moms in this room now that are still creating memories, enjoying time with their kids in the house. And understand, you can still be setting the example as a godly mother. It's not too late for that. Even if they've left the home and they see repentance or a desire to grow in your life, example still. You have mothers that are strengthening their children's life emotionally and spiritually by the walk that you have. And it's neat because as we walk through and we see principles of a mother, today we're going to speak to women, but the exact same thing is applicable to men. But we're going to look at the life of a woman. And we're going to see a lone mom making a difference. A single mom at work. We have moms that are fulfilling their responsibility alone. Maybe because of death, they lost their partner that should be there to help. Maybe they made a bad decision in marrying an ungodly person that walked out and left. Maybe it's because of sin and a child was conceived out of wedlock. Maybe it's because of compassion and she took on the responsibility to help a child because he was neglected. But no matter the reason... being a single mom, being a lone mom, is a tough thing. Being a single mom is hard financially. Trying to do everything you got to do and provide. It's hard emotionally. Not only dealing with your own emotions, but also dealing with that of a child that you're trying to raise, the issues they go through and the growth patterns and steps that they take in their lives, the phases they go through. Raising a child is hard physically. Trying to care for the kid in all the many ways and take him where they need to be. But it's also hard spiritually as a single mom to raise a child. Trying to fill the father's role in leading his family spiritually. So however, being a godly mom is still worth the work. Being a godly mom will always be rewarded by God. Moms, whether you're a single mom, your husband's still there, maybe your kids are out of the house, God will always bless your faith and he will always use it. And the blessing is your child will see your faith and learn from it. Today we're going to look at a widow in 1 Kings chapter 17. A widow, we don't even know her name. She's known as the widow of Zarephath. However, she's a giant of the faith. She's a great example to us, not because she had lots of knowledge, not because she did some big deeds and had some acts to her name, but because she was obedient even in the hardest times. She was obedient when she had excuses to not be. And for this reason, God blessed her. See, this story takes place during the time of Elijah, with a J, not to be confused. Elijah and Shah, who came first? Here's how I was told, J comes before S. Did I help? Did anybody amen? Okay, some of y'all are like, duh, but I'm just helping, okay? The story takes place in his time and time during Elijah's life, where the nation of Israel was under wicked leadership. And we see this happens often in this nation. They were under the leadership of Ahab and Jezebel. Reason there's not popular names today. And usually when you see kids named that, you see parents that are rebellious against the Lord. But those two people led the nation of Israel to worship Baal. And they built a temple and a statue for that idol, provoking the true God to anger. Prophet Elijah comes in. And he warned them that there would be no rain and no dew. Now, when you get a warning, you can do a couple things. You can start finding other ways to do it. Or you can ignore it and laugh at it. But what happens when it does come true? You get mad at the messenger, don't you? You want to attack the messenger. Why would you do such a thing? Well, when Elijah warned them that rain and or dew would not settle anymore for them and it would happen for years, God told him to go and hide, to protect him. And when the drought starts, the people do get mad, but God had placed Elijah at a creek. And you probably know the story, and the birds brought him food. But eventually the brook dried up. Remember, you're in a drought. And God tells him to go elsewhere. A place where God has prepared a lady to care for him and for him to be a blessing too. And so in 1 Kings 17, go down to verse 8. And that's where we're at. As he leaves the brook and he goes to meet this lady. Listen to what 1 Kings 17. We're going to read a handful of verses, so follow with me. In verse 8 it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto him," that's Elijah, "saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gates of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for the examples you give us in Scripture to practice faith. Lord, I ask for your hand on each one of us, that your Spirit would apply it in exactly the area of our life that we need it, that we'd realize you are speaking to us, and that we'd want to act in that way. Let me be an encouragement today to the mothers that are here, how effective they are in lives, how meaningful they are. We thank you for many of them just faithful to this church for so long, ministering, teaching, and loving. Lord, I ask that you have your way in this service, Lord, that your Spirit get a hold of our hearts. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You know, the first thing we see is the widow was in tough times. You know, parts of this story may bring back memories of some of us. They may have gone through some real struggles. I remember my mom working three jobs after my dad left us. We just come back from Brazil, where my dad was the missionary pastor. And he had abandoned a family. So we had no home, no food. We stayed with my aunt and uncle for a few months to get stuff started. I remember my mom being exhausted and crying, continuing daily to get on that bus to go to work. or from that job to the other job. And then the other one was part-time as she was trying to make things happen. She would do anything she could to take care of the four kids, neglecting herself. And so it brings back memories sometimes. Maybe you can share a time in your life that you just saw struggle and suffer to take care of someone else. This widow here that we read of is in a tough time. Her husband has died. She has no partner raising the kid. And to make it worse, she too is suffering from the effect of this drought that was going on. And she has nothing to eat. And she's out picking up sticks to cook the last biscuit of her life. And she said, I'm going to go in and cook this last biscuit so that we can eat it and die. You ever been to that point in your life where you plan your death? There's nothing I can do. We're going to die. Imagine this poor lady, probably weak and frail, not eating right. She's tired, can't sleep at night, worried how she's going to take care of her son. She's dirty because probably not enough water at some point as the drought comes. Depressed, knowing that they're about to die. Hopeless, because nothing she could do to fix this problem. How could God use this lady? She has nothing to offer. How's God going to use her? Here's a point. You with me? Listen to this. When you have nothing to offer, you're exactly where God wants to use you. When you have nothing to offer is the best place for God to use you. Skip over to 1 Corinthians 1 with me. A passage I love because it'll kick any proud person in the mouth. It'll remind us who God really uses. In 1 Corinthians 1, go down to verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are. Why? Look at verse 29. That no flesh should glory in his presence. God uses the weak, the low, the foolish things of this world, so that when he works, no man can get the credit. That you can see that it's God at work. You start looking at who God used in Scripture. It's been years, and I want to do it again. I've been thinking about doing it again. It's preaching through each apostle of the Bible, 12 apostles, and their lives. You realize he didn't not pick the cream of the crop. He picked a bunch of scabs. Ain't nobody one on their team. From murderers to thieves to outcast to tax collector, which was like the low of the low. Why? Because when God worked through them, it obviously wasn't them, it was him at work. God wants to use the low of the low. And he's going to get credit through it because it's his work, not ours. Don't ever count God out. He may have you exactly where he wants to use you. He made you for his glory. He's preparing you for his plan. You'll turn back to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to see this lady that had nothing. All she knew is we're going to have our last biscuit and die. Her faith was tested. Now, I don't know about you, but I hate it when my faith is tested. It's not fun. I like to do things for God that are comfortable, that are under my control. that I'm going to know the outcome. But the problem when I serve God in that way, I don't ever get to witness His provision, His protection, His guidance. And so God will place areas in our life that we have to obey by faith, not knowing what's going to happen. And this widow's faith is tested because Elijah requires or comes through with a request. So give me a drink of water and some bread. Basics for living, nothing. He didn't ask for a big old juicy steak. I think I'd done better than a morsel of bread, yeah? Anybody with me? Hey, give me some water and bread. He just traveled. He's thirsty. He's hungry. Is this selfish? Well, we're going to get to that, so hang on there. Because we're going to come back to his selfishness. But the widow, this lone mom, explains, I've got nothing baked already. I have no cake. I got nothing I can pull out and just give for you to eat. And then she shares the hardest part. All I have is enough flour and oil for one more little loaf. Now, I'm not a baker. But that don't even taste very good, does it? All I got is flour and oil. Surely there's something else just put in there, right? That don't sound too tasty. But you know what? It'd keep her alive. She said, all I got is enough for one more biscuit. It's the last little bit I have. It's going to be our last meal. Verse 12 says, tells us her plan, that we may eat it and die. So we don't have enough for the two of us, much less adding an adult man to our dinner plan. Maybe you've been there. In the middle of suffering or in trials, in the middle of your sadness, when you don't know what to do, and you have nothing extra. And then God sends something else to deal with. God, I'm struggling. How am I going to serve someone else? God, I'm in need. How can I give? God, I'm hurting. How can I encourage others? And when we stop serving others, what happens is we always start noticing our own suffering because we get our eyes off of others and place our eyes on ourselves. And we'll get busy feeling sorry for ourselves and our situation. But when we start to serve others, we take our eyes off our own situation. We place our eyes on someone else. We have to trust God to use us. When I went to Brazil in 23, it was just incredible to me. It's a very poor area, you know, where the church is at. And you know that just a couple years ago, they went through the flood and they lost everything. 15-foot flood killed everything. All of our church people were safe, but had nothing. So they go in with body suits and chemicals to wash their houses and to clean. They had to throw their bedding away, their cabinets. I mean, literally start over. They don't have insurance there. It's a third world country. And yet, you know what happened? They were still giving to the church to help others. Whew. Humbling moment right there. But they're still giving to help others. You're building the church account so the church can get back to operation. Even though their house is still nasty and gross and they don't have a bed, they're at the church washing and spraying because they can't wait to get back to service. They had nothing, yet God put upon them a burden to do something else. It was just an example I see here. This lady, she has nothing. Her plan is to eat and die. And her faith has just been tested. Will you give this man something to eat as he challenged you? But understand, this just didn't happen by chance. Look at verse 9. God prepares us for what he calls us to do. Look at verse 9. It says, arise. He's talking to Elijah. He said, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. God had already prepared this woman's heart to serve someone. Did she hear some audible voice? Probably not. He just prepared her heart. In other words, she had to be in sync with the Lord. that he prepared her heart for this random man that she does not know to come to her and ask for food in the middle of her knowing she's about to die. But understand, God never calls us without preparing us. Listen to a couple verses real quick. In Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." I've quoted this too many times, probably annoys some of y'all. Guess what? I'm going to do it more. He tells us, why are we saved? To do his good works. 2 Timothy 3:17 says, "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Believers, he tells us he equips us to do the good works. What he calls us to, he gives us what we need. In 2 Peter 1:3, he says this, "According as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue." God has given us all we need to fulfill his call to be godly, to do good works, to reflect his image. You see, God always prepares us to what he calls us to. Do we hear his voice through the air and we go, oh, no. It's through an intimacy with him as I spend time in his word and humble myself in prayer before him. Not just to read it and have knowledge, but to really get to know him and to love him. And I start seeing his spirit start moving my heart and changing me and open my eyes to issues that I can help with or I can give to or that I can serve in. And he says, "I have prepared this lady. I have commanded a widow there to sustain thee. I prepared her to serve you." This widow did not hear his audible voice, but because her heart was soft, God worked her and prepared her. We also see that God provided. You remember that woman had a little bit of flour left. That woman had a little bit of oil left. Guess what? That little bit of flour and a little bit of oil was never meant for her and her son to consume. That little bit of flour and a little bit of oil was not for her and her son. She didn't know it. God had provided a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil so that she could accomplish what he has called her to do. So she could fulfill his plan. God provided what was needed for her to act in faith. Each one of us need to be intimate with the Lord. Sometimes that we can see how God has given us what we need to fulfill his calling. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always have an all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." God will always provide what you need so that you have the ability to obey him and fulfill your calling as he leads you. He will always give you what you need. See, this widow had nothing. No, wrong. She had that little bit of flour and that little bit of oil. And that's all she needed. And now we see that she acted in faith. See, true faith is exposed by action. True faith is seen when life gets hard, when we have to sacrifice, when you don't know how things are going to turn out. That's when faith happens, because then the question is, am I going to obey anyway, even in those times? See, knowing her problem, Elijah responds in verse 13. The ESV reads it like this: "Do not fear. Go and do as I have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me, and afterward make something for yourself and your son." What did Elijah just say? She just told him she didn't have enough to make for him and them. But he says, first feed me. I like how he starts out in verse 13. He said, don't fear. Have faith. I think it's funny that we like to say that to others when they're going through a hard time, right? But only when it's them going through the suffering, not me. Because when someone says it to me, I want to punch them. Amen? Okay, good. I was afraid no one else was going to back me up on that. But right? And we sometimes we just don't have anything else to say. Well, just have faith. Well, let's challenge people in love. Let's encourage them. Elijah says, have faith. Don't fear. Does that sound selfish? Sounds extremely selfish. He came to this widow by the orders of God. We've got to remember this. He didn't randomly come to this woman. He came here because God told him, I prepared a person for you. And he came to this woman by the orders of God. Now, he's seen God provide in the past, hasn't he? Remember where he was? One of the ways was he went to that creek. Nice, peaceful place. And birds brought him food. Now, listen to that part. Birds brought him food. Has God already proven to him I can provide whenever I want to? Elijah's already seen God work and provide. And before notice Elijah's faith, though. He said, first make for me. And you notice in verse 13, after you make it for me, what did he say? Go ahead. What did he say? Make it for the two of you now. After you feed me, make it for you. Is Elijah dumb? Didn't he hear her say, I've only got enough for one biscuit? No, see, Elijah was speaking by faith. I know that if you act in faith, God will provide. He's already knows the effect of faith, and he is trusting her. Elijah didn't expect her to act before knowing God's promises. You and I often, we act in faith because we know God's promises. Now, God's promise isn't to make us rich, okay, to give us flour and oil. But he promises peace. He promises eternal glory. And I think based on those promises, I look forward to that day, and I want to live now so I enjoyed eternity even more. But understand, Elijah gave her a promise and said this in verse 14. Look at verse 14. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. It won't run out. Neither shall a cruse of oil fail. Your bottle of oil ain't going to run out until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. It's the promise of God upon this woman. If you'll act in faith and do what you're supposed to do, now that you know God's promise to you, and you'll walk by faith, you'll cook by faith, if you will, you will witness the provisions of God. A lot of times you and I don't see God's provision and God blessing in his own way through peace, through joy, because we don't take the step of faith. We want the blessing before the faith when God says, no, I want you to obey me first. And Elijah says, give to her the promise. And so what did she do? Verse 15, she went and did as Elijah said. She didn't wait there waiting for the blessing. She didn't say, Elijah, prove it to me. She knows the result of her plan is to die anyway, right? It's not going to get any worse. But this man has made a promise. For some reason, God has led me and prepared me for this man to come. And if she had never gone and cooked that biscuit and fed it to Elijah, she would never see the blessing. This means she used her last bit of food. It's gone. But by faith, she fed a stranger because God prompted her heart. Now remember, who was watching this whole time? Who would have been around seeing what she is doing? Her little boy. That little boy watching her. He's listening to her words. He's watched her actions. He saw her faith. Now imagine his questions. Mama, why are you giving a stranger man our last bit of food? Mama, why? Oh, mamas, daddies, why is the best question you can ever hear. Can you imagine this woman looking at her son? Because God sent this man to us. What a lesson. Never punish the question why. You can punish the attitude. But if the question why is asked correctly, it's the best question you can have. Because now we don't teach him what to do, we teach him why we do it. This little boy can be asked, Mama, why? What will we eat, Mama? I don't know, son. We trust God's going to provide. Imagine that. This little boy, Mama, God's going to provide, and he's going to see God provide. Woo! The lesson being taught. So now they both get to experience the blessing. And the last point I see here is blessed faith. See, Elijah delivered God's promise to this woman. If you will obey, if you will practice faith, then you will no longer worry about food. All of Israel will worry, but God will give you an unending supply of food until there is rain. Look at verse 15, about halfway through. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal waste not, neither did the cruse of oil fail. According to what? According to what? The word of the Lord which spake by Elijah. The promise became reality simply because she obeyed and she recognized that the promise was not from Elijah, but by God. God has provided, and they're eating, and they're enjoying, and they're partaking. And this little boy is saying, well, Mama, how did you know? I didn't. I just obeyed. But don't stop there. I wasn't going to get into this part, but we're going to get into one more part today. God blesses beyond our understanding. It's a bonus material, if you will. Freebie. I won't charge for this one. But the blessing continues. Because God blesses beyond our understanding. Look at verse 17. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? Notice Elijah stayed with him for a while. It was the place God had taken him for protection. And God was still hiding him there during this drought. And suddenly the son gets sick and dies. There's no breath in him. Imagine the fear going through this woman, the desperation. No longer did the flour and the oil matter. Things have gotten bigger. And the widow becomes mad at Elijah. Thinks this is punishment for her sin. What'd you do? Tell God on me? What are we to do? Oh no! Let's keep reading. Verse 19. And he said to her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into the loft where he abode. And laid upon him in his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, "See, thy son liveth." And the woman said unto Elijah, "Now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord in thy mouth is truth." See, the man that this widow fed, the stranger this widow took in, has now saved the life of her son. Not because Elijah could do it. I'm about to close. Stick with me as we close here. Not because Elijah could do it, but because Elijah knew where to get the healing. Elijah knew who to call on. And so Elijah calls on God, and God responds, bringing healing. You notice the widow's response? "There's no way, Elijah, that this work is from your power. I know for a fact that you have come by the word of the Lord. I know that this blessing is from God." Where did it start? Picking up sticks, ready to die. Surrendering her first or last little food because God prompted her heart. And when we act in obedience, we will see God work in his own way, providing for our obedience, giving us what we need to fulfill his call and his purpose. Our kids are going to witness that we truly trust God. Now, our kids will notice both ways. If you choose to play churchanese and be here on Sundays, but the life doesn't reflect it, the language doesn't reflect it. The kids learn that. But the kids also see, why did you put money in the offering plate, Dad? Well, why do you spend time studying to teach people at church? Why do you give up your Sunday mornings, all the whys, to give us an important opportunity to teach? And they're watching. And we've got to make sure to point out to them when God sends blessings to. He works out problems. He brings peace. He provides in his weird ways. And they will witness the work of God. Not because of our abilities and powers, but because we use what God has provided us for his purpose. But if we don't trust the calling and the purpose of God, we don't trust him in hard times, we'll always have a reason, a fear, an excuse to ignore what he has prompted us to do. But when we are obedient, he will always bless us. Not necessarily material things, but things greater than material. With joy, with peace, with hope, with the family of God. Would you stand with me? The only way we can be faithful to God in hard times is when we build our life around the promises of God. When really, when hard things come, that I choose to continue to stand on the promises of God. And guess what? Hard times will come. Maybe not financially. Maybe emotionally. Maybe spiritually. Relationally. But no matter what it is that I choose to stand on the promises of God, we will see him work, him provide, him work it out. Let's sing together just two verses. Oh. She's not over here. 687, if you'll open your hymnal. I forgot she's in junior church, isn't she? Thank you. out today.